Hi guys, I've just done a Zoom interview with Joseph Healy from Judo Bank, J-U-D-O Bank. Joseph Healy is the co-founder and co-CEO of the bank. And this is a, look, you might think it's a bit slow, but it's worth listening to though, because the objective here is to talk about the bank, talk to Joseph about the bank, to talk to Joseph about the government guarantee for small business owners who are trying to borrow money from banks to get through all this COVID environment. And really what I want to do is talk to Joseph about what's the bank's purpose. This bank is a small to medium enterprise bank. That's it, that's all they do, is lend money to small to medium enterprises. They lend the money unsecured. They lend it at pretty good interest rates. They're not trying to rip you off or anything like that. And we want to talk to Joseph about how hard is it to borrow the money? Is it easy to borrow the money? Who do they lend money to? Do they borrow anyone? What do you need to have in order to get the loan approved? You know, what's their attitude towards lending money? Who do I talk to? How do I get in contact with them? How long should I expect before I get a decision, et cetera, et cetera? So it's worth listening to if you're in small business and you're trying to borrow money. So I recommend it. It's an interview with Joseph Healy, co-chief executive officer of a new bank called Judo Bank. It's an Australian bank and well-funded. So have a good time. Enjoy it. Well, I'm here today with Joseph Healy. Joseph Healy has, there's not many people can say this, he's actually a co-founder of a bank in this country in Australia, and the name of the bank is Judo Bank. And Joseph also is the co-CEO. Joseph has a long history in banking, and he understands business banking more importantly. But I guess the first thing I'd ask you, like most people want to know this, why the hell would you go out and set up a bank? I mean, what possessed you to go and set up a bank? Joseph?
Well, that's a great question. So we started working on the bank about three and a half years ago. At that stage, I was in my early 50s. So that underlines why would you want to do something like this? But I felt passionately about banking, particularly banking for small to mid-sized businesses. And I felt that progressively over the last decade to 15 years, that the service proposition that small businesses were getting from the banks had just been deteriorating. And you know, the banks had other priorities. They were all pretty much the same in terms of their focus. And I felt that the small business sector was getting taken for granted, was being left behind. And there was an opportunity to build a bank that specialized in small businesses only, that was staffed by people who were passionate about small businesses and who understood how to bank small businesses in a way that the industry was no longer doing it. So that was the background. You know, we assembled a very strong team, initially raised 20 million, then 120 million, then 500 million, very strong equity investors, built the team out to just under 200 people today, and we'll double that over the next 12 months. So it's driven by passion, and you know, your listeners will resonate that in being successful in business, you have to really be passionate about it. It's not just business. There's got to be a strong sense of purpose. What is it that you do that the market's not doing or not doing so well? And how can you make a difference? And success will follow if you get those ingredients right. So it's a burning passion for banking and particularly banking small businesses.
And how's the take up of it? I mean, it's hard to establish a brand because, you know, like you're competing against banks that have been in business for 100 years plus, who spend, you know, between themselves hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of marketing every year and have been doing every year for many, many years. I mean, how, and so putting that aside, because it's hard to compete with that, but how is the build going in terms of your customer outcomes and your customer acquisition? And are your customers, how do they feel? What's the feedback you're getting?
Oh, great question. I mean, we've been thrilled with the progress. I mean, we formally became a bank on the 24th of April, 2019. So we're a bank.
One year old.
We've got a lending book of just under $2 billion now. And average loan size.
But you've lent $2 billion.
$1.8 billion.
Right.
With about another $300 million of approved, documented, but not yet drawn. So, And that's really grown since we became a bank. So we're lending at about $250 to $300 million a month, on an average loan size of about $2 million. So we've been thrilled, and we have offices in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, and we're opening in Perth in early June. And then we'll open in Adelaide early in 2021. Really happy with the momentum. To the question you posed at the beginning, I mean, how do you promote a brand in a world dominated by giants who can spend hundreds of millions of dollars on their brand? Our strategy has really been about being very focused and very targeted on who it is we're trying to connect with. Walk before we run. You know, we've made some big statements about why Judo is a credible alternative to the major banks when it comes to small to mid-sized businesses. Our service proposition of turning around loans within 5 working days. Our emphasis on judgment, not formulas. You won't find Judo Bank is saying that's against policy. We only do 75%. Against real estate, we'll take a very judgment-based lens. We're very focused on understanding what we call the 4 C's of banking: the character, reputation of the entrepreneur, the cash flow, the capacity in the business to service and repay debt, the capital that already sits in the business behind the equity, and then the collateral. Then what security is there should there be a weakness with any of the first of those 4 C's, first 3 of them? So it's that emphasis on judgment that I think has differentiated us in the market, and our speed in terms of making very quick to get to an answer. We don't mess people around. Decision makers are, our bankers have delegated authority, so there's none of this, let me take this to credit and head office and we'll get back to you as quickly as we can. So we believe in hiring well and empowering people to do the job well, making sure that they can talk to customers with confidence that the organization can deliver. So our marketing strategy in many ways is a slow build. It's being able to demonstrate, certainly in the first 18 months to 2 years, that we've delivered on what we said we will do. That this is not spin, that this is how we think, talk, and act when it comes to our customers. And then we'll have testimonies. We'll have many customers saying, the Judo experience was one of the best I've encountered in dealing with a bank for the last 30 years. So, and eventually we'll start to promote the brand more in a more public way. But we felt that talk is cheap. Marketing can be quite an empty slogan business. We wanted to demonstrate substance to our track record. And we can then point to proof points of our ability to deliver on what we said we will do.
And I guess I know you guys and I know Joseph. I had to think recently of who is it, which business bank would I recommend to a friend of mine who needed to borrow some money. And ordinarily I would think of NAB, and I think you were ex-NAB, is that right, Joseph?
Yes, that's right.
Ordinarily I think of NAB because NAB Business Bank and all sort of stuff, because they've been advertising to us for many, many years. But I thought to myself, but it's a big bank, it could be difficult. And then the second name that came into my mind was Judo Bank. And the thing that made me think of Judo Bank is, one, I know that's your business, you're in the business of banking small businesses, in other words, lending money to small businesses. Two, the thing that I really, really resonated with me when I first met you some time ago was that if I go to Judo Bank, and by the way, it's J-U-D-O. If I go to Judo Bank, as in wrestling, I go to Judo Bank. Joseph's organization is going to make sure that I have a banker who's experienced enough and has enough authority to do the deal. And he's going to hold my hand. He's going to ask me the right questions. He's going to help me out. So he's not going to pass me on to somebody else. I'm not going to get online and talk to 3 people and talk to the 10th person. And then by the time the 10th person gets in, they're going to make a submission to the credit department, and the credit department's going to come back to that guy or girl, and it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. And I might end up getting refused and I waste a whole lot of time. I think what I like about Judo Bank is they're going to tell you whether they can do the deal or not within 5 days. Your preference is to do the deal. So if your credit, your relationship manager thinks this is not a deal, he has to convince others that that deal's not a deal. He can't just say, I'm not doing that deal. He or she has to convince someone else within your team. So you really are trying to lend money, which is pretty cool. I like that. So, and that's why I refer my friend across to you guys. And your rates, like everybody else's, you're being commercial. You're not, exploitative in terms of the interest rates you charge. You're not trying to get them on the low end of the credit curve. So overall, you're a great bank. That's what I think. And I think you've done a fantastic job. And I want to ask you this, Joseph. Right now, the federal government's been announcing that banks have been asked to help small business owners during this period. for whatever help they may need. Obviously, it's credit help, help in terms of raising credit. What does that mean when the government says, we'll guarantee 50% of the loan? Like, what are they talking about?
Well, it's a truly unprecedented move by the government, of course. What they mean is that the banks will lend up to $250,000 for working capital on a three-year term, and that should the banks lose money as a result of the customer not being able to pay back, then the government will pick up 50% of that loss.
$125,000.
So that's what that means. And so that is really the intention, of course, was to encourage banks to move and to move quickly, to support small businesses, to give them the cash, the lifeline that they need to survive in these unprecedented times. And the government said that, you know, we'll pick up half any losses you might make. So I think that was a very profound statement, commitment by the government. The big challenge, of course, has been to operationalize that. And that is that when small businesses want to get access to that $250,000, how do they do it?
Yeah.
Because a lot of small businesses lost their relationship banker many years ago as the banks industrialized and centralized and had call centers instead of dedicated bankers. And so what we're hearing from many, many small businesses is that whilst the intention by the government and the banks was commendable, actually getting our hands on that $250,000 has been a hugely frustrating exercise. Now, we are part of that scheme. So Judo is very much a lender under that government scheme. And we, being a relatively small bank and a bank that has a face, so you're dealing with another person rather than a faceless person on a call center, we've been very, very quick to respond and provide businesses with access to that $250,000. What we do say to businesses, though, don't fall into the trap of thinking that $250,000 is going to solve all problems.
Yeah.
Think about what you really need and think 6 months, not 3 months. You know, there's always a temptation, Mark, and you know this, that when we hit problems, entrepreneurs being very positive people say, well, actually, this will get better in a couple of months. I mean, I say that myself privately, but I think prudently you should say, look, it's going to be tough for 6 months. So let's think, what are our cash flow needs over the next 6 months? And my guess is for a lot of businesses, that's going to be more than $250,000. So be clear with the bank as to what you really need. So you can have access to the $250,000, but actually you might need another $200,000. And so you should also be asking for that.
So does that mean then, Joseph, that you ask for 450, does the government still co-guarantee that, or the co-guarantee only stops at 250?
Only 250. So there'll be two facilities. There'll be the 250 facility.
Right.
And then there'll be a separate facility for whatever else the customer needed.
And when the government says that they, effectively government's sort of being your partner, not your partner, but our partner, the borrower's partner, when he or she goes in to see Judo Bank, what does that do? Does it change the credit profile of the partner? I mean, does it really make, it's comfort for you, for Judo Bank. It's a good thing to have the government in there guaranteeing part of the loss. But it probably doesn't change the credit profile of the borrower, does it?
We've got to look at the customer on its merits, bearing in mind that this is unsecured as well. So this is not $250,000. It requires a mortgage or a second mortgage. It's unsecured. And so the bank's got to really look at the ability of the business to survive over the next 6 months. And also their ability then to repay that debt, over 3 years. Now, the big challenge, there's two challenges in this. The first challenge is that banks are not very good at unsecured lending. I mentioned earlier on about the four C's of credit. What happens in the industry is that they kind of default to the four C and see how much property have you got, and we'll lend 75%. So having the skills to say, let me understand your credit risk without recourse to property or security is the first thing. And the second thing is the ability to make a quick decision so that the business gets the money that it needs. And just the way that the sheer volume of demand that's been placed on the banks and the centralization, if you will, or the industrialization of the way they work, that's made it very difficult to operationalize. And so, as I say, businesses, I find it quite a challenge getting a hold of the money. The thing that I would say, and certainly the way that we operate with Enduro, is that don't spend any time looking at the historical performance of the business, because frankly, that's not going to help you. This is a very different world that we're in. Just look at what the business manager owner says they need and what they're going to do coming out of this, and assess your lending decision on the forward-looking outlook, not the rear window mirror outlook.
Is there a period, if you take one of these lines, is there a period where you don't have to make any repayments?
Yes.
Yeah, so six yes. months or something like
probably something like, yeah, 3 to 6 months. You don't have to make any payments.
And then you've got, is it, have you got 3 years to pay off that, or have you got 2.5 years to pay off that?
2.5 years. So right. It's 3 years in total.
Yeah, yeah, so
and obviously.
Go on.
Obviously, that the government guarantee expires after 3 years, but that doesn't mean that the credit shouldn't be renewed after 3 years, because if the businesses perform well, then I'm sure that most banks would be willing to extend that facility out beyond the 3 years.
Right. So you've got to pay, basically you've got to pay, let's say it's $250,000 to make it easy, and you've got to pay that over 2.5 years. So that means you're paying around, $10,000 or close enough to $10,000 or $15,000 a month for the next couple of years in 6 months' time. The mathematics, let's assume that's correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, we Judo Bank will assume that your economy, me the borrower's economy will recover such that you can afford to pay this $10,000 a month or $15,000, let's call it $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you do that, are you sort of saying, what are you going to say to me the borrower? You're going to say to me, Mark, show me what income you think you will earn in that period. Show me your expenses. I need to see what your net cash flow is on a monthly basis. Is that what you're looking for?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And are you sort of saying, if you've got to pay me back $10,000 a month, I need to see $20,000 excess money in your account every month, like in your assumptions? Do you sort of run to some sort of formula?
It'll depend on the individual business, but clearly you want to make sure that in taking on new debt, because this would be new debt,
yep,
that the business is not leveraging itself up in a way that it makes it very difficult for it to operate when we come out of this cycle. So I think the important thing is to make sure that the business has the capacity to service the debt. And the ratios that will be applied will depend on the nature of the business. But, you know, the big priority here is to make sure that businesses get access to that $250,000, at least that amount, so that they can survive through this very difficult time. So this, by nature, involves the banks taking on a level of risk that they have been unused to taking on over the last decade or so. And that's an important, I think, difference. And that's why the government says, we understand you'll be taking on a higher level of risk than you have been comfortable in taking on, and we will backstop you 50% should you lose money on that loan.
It's a big call, isn't it, by the government?
It's a big call, but the reality is if the government didn't do that, the system wouldn't operate.
No, 100%. And it's fantastic that, I mean, like, you know, we've gone through a Royal Commission and here we are 1 year later, nearly two months later, where the banks have actually done a complete 360, the banking industry, a complete 360, is now looking at trying to help the government out, help Australians out in order to keep all the businesses afloat. I mean, why have the banks done that? I mean, because, you know, clearly, I mean, I saw some results come out for, I think it was ANZ and Westpac this week. It was NAB and Westpac. And their provision for impairment of their assets were quite large. So, you know, it's a big deal to do this. I mean, is it like a sense of patriotism or, you know, nation building? How was it taken up by everybody so readily?
Well, I think there was a sense that the banks had to step up. I mean, the banks have very privileged positions in our economy. A lot of the funding is basically government guaranteed. They are protected from failure. You know, they have a very unique social license. that no other industry enjoys. And so I think this was an opportunity for the banks to step up and show that they recognize that they are A, privileged, B, they're critical to the survival success of the economy, and that they should play their role in making sure that the business economy and households survive through this very turbulent time. So I think there was a sense of responsibility. Obviously, the banks have been on the back foot because of the fallout of the Royal Commission, so their ability to kind of push back against some political pressure was not what it might have been in other times. But I think, in full credit to the banks, they and the industry generally, they said all the right things, and they made all the right promises and commitments, and they accepted that they are going to take on higher levels of risk than they have been comfortable taking on in the past. But you also need to remember, Mark, that we have one of, if not the most profitable banking system in the world. And it's a banking system that has had very low levels of bad debts over the course of the last decade. So in many ways, the levels of bad debts that we're seeing now, whilst are going to be much higher than they have would normally be, they are to some extent offsetting a very low level of bad debts that we've seen in the last decade. And the banks are so well placed to absorb these bad debts. They're well capitalized, they're well funded. One of the banks raised more equity to strengthen its position this week. But the banking system today is very, very strong, and it's well placed to play the role that society needs it to play in supporting households and businesses to get through this very difficult cycle.
Would you be in a position to share with me an example of where you have done one of these 250 or some other amount loans to a small business owner?
Yeah, sure. There's a small business owner in Brisbane that had been banking with another bank, and we had been talking to them for about 6 months. They had agreed to buy a small business that was supported the hotel chains in major holiday resorts, mainly around laundry and just general services. And they'd signed a contract to buy this business. And of course, then the virus hit, and the holiday hotels basically stepped away from contracts, and because they saw a quiet period lasting out 6 months. That small business was in real strife because they had basically contractually committed but didn't have the resources or the revenues to support. We looked at what the business was trying to do and how it would operate in normal times when things get back to some normality. We looked at the track record of the business owner who'd been in that business for 30 odd years and had an unblemished track record. And we got behind them. And even though it was a new customer, we gave them a loan of $8.5 million so that they could complete the transaction that they had contractually committed to, knowing that the next 6 months were going to be a challenge for them. But we believed in the capabilities of the business owner, that the strategy that they had mapped out to us, and that when things normalize, this will be a very successful business. So we stepped in. We've had several other examples where banks have pulled back from loan commitments because of this environment. And there was two cases last week, and we went to meet with the customer, met over a conference like this, and we've agreed to step in and support them because the track record has been first class. The management know what they're doing. They understand the risks. And we also provided one of them with access to the $250,000 facility. So I think it's at times like this, relationships are really tested, and the experience and maturity is really tested. And good businesses before this crisis will be good businesses after this crisis. And so the important thing is to say these people know what they're doing. They've got their hands around the risks and the challenges. They're very sensible, heads not stuck in the sand. And they've thought through some contingency plans should things take longer than 6 months. So we were able to support them. And it goes back to judgment, Mark. If we were making those decisions based on some formula or some you know, how much property have you got as security? We wouldn't have done that. There'd be no money available. But we say, we look at the individual as I look at you and say, this is an individual who's been very successful over many, many years, has never failed on his commitments, has got a good business model that will be a good business model after this. This is a chance for us to cement a relationship that will be defining for the rest of that business owner's career.
So you just approve my loan. So some might say, some might ask you, well, hang on, there must be a catch to this. Is their interest rate really, really high? In other words, is Judo Bank charging usurious rates, like unconscionable rates? Where are your rates sitting?
Right. So across the close to $2 billion of lending that we've done, the average rate on that book is 5.4%.
And that's unsecured. Unsecured lending.
So there's a mix of secured lending
and unsecured.
Unsecured lending, yeah. That's the average. Yeah. So, but we don't have any interest rates above 9%
on unsecured lending. Ridiculously good. I mean, from my point of view, that's very good. Because people got to understand, like, commercial lending rates are much higher than residential lending rates, which, you know, because there's a risk, the cost of funds is much more for commercial lending relative to residential because there's a lot more risk. But equally, but on top of that, when you say you haven't had anything below above 10% or 9%, we've got to remember that those loans are probably the unsecured loans too.
Yes.
Yeah, and unsecured, which basically means that Judo's got no security. If something goes wrong, you're left out there on the perch. So yes. they're very good rates. They're market rates. They're market average market rates.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So I mean, we're competing between you and them, anyone else that is.
Yeah, well, we're competing with the major banks, so we've got to be able to match them on price. We don't set ourselves out as a lender who's charging excessive rates. We're in this business for the long haul. We want to be a credible alternative to the major banks, and we've got to offer rates and terms and conditions that are competitive.
And you're not a lender of last resort either, so I think that's important to for us to stipulate here.
Yes.
You guys are not what is termed as a lender of last resort who might charge you 20% or 25%. You're a mainstream lender who wants to lend to anybody who qualifies. Is there someone who you won't lend to? It's a hard question to answer, I guess, but is there any industry, would you say, look, we won't lend money to hotel owners, or we won't lend money to cafe restaurant owners, or is there anywhere that's off limits?
No, I mean, the only thing that we've not done is a commercial property development at this stage. But the philosophy here is that we don't have off limits, even in bad industries. So, I mean, obviously, retailing, leisure, hospitality are doing it really tough right now. But in my experience over 3 decades, that even in tough industries, there are good operators.
Yeah.
There are good businesses. And so I think to take a blanket view on a particular industry is not a sensible approach to business. You say within all industries, good and bad, there are outstanding performers, and we'll look at businesses on their merit, not on some blanket approach to an industry.
I think it's fair to say big banks actually take that view because they have to take that view in some respects, because they're getting so many applications. They can't sit down and make the judgments like you guys can, because most people don't have the authority to make the judgment in the first place. And you probably would remember, you would definitely remember this from the NAB days, like across the board, they just say, look, here's an industry and we're not going to bank at the moment. We're not going to bank clothing retailers, because it's just too hard for them to pick out those individuals like you're talking about, who are of great character, have great track records, who have good business minds and have faultless histories. It's too hard for the big banks to find those people, because, as you said earlier, the big banks have become industrialized because they're so big.
That's correct.
They can't operate the way you're operating. You're operating very niche, and you can actually have a proper 360 degree look at your customer or potential customer before you make a decision.
Yes, 100%. I mean, I've worked in big banks, not just NAB. I was at ANZ and I worked in other banks. There's huge machines, and you have to have a one size fits all cookie cutter approach, otherwise you can't manage them. And of course, there are several layers between the senior executives and the folks on the front line. And you've got to be very clear about, we're not going to do this sector, we're not going to do this or do that, so that there's no misunderstanding. And of course, people at the front line feel disempowered. You know, their ability to look at a customer and say, I know you're a great customer. Personally, I'd write you the check myself if I had the money, but our policy is we're no longer doing this type of business anymore.
That
policy changes in 6 months' time, of course. But we set Judo up as a pure small to mid-sized business play. We don't want to do anything other than small to mid-sized businesses. We want to be world-class at doing small to mid-sized banking. And we have staff here who are passionate about it. That's all we talk about. You know, it's we're not a big conglomerate that talks about wealth management 1 minute or China the next minute or personal credit cards the next minute. All we talk about inside Judo is how do we help small to mid-sized businesses survive this phase of the cycle and then succeed coming out of it.
If I'm a small business or a medium-sized business and I felt as though I needed access to 250, half million, whatever the number is, what do I need to prepare before I to make the process easier and faster and less friction? What do I sort of need to have in my kit bag before I make an appointment with one of your relationship managers?
Well, so you need to have an outline of the business plan, of the financial forecasting for the business, both the profit and loss, the balance sheet, and the cash flows. A clear statement about why, what the money.
One year's worth, Joseph. Could I just something?
It's better to do two to three years.
Three years.
I know that forecasting is a black science and a black art as well, but it's good to kind of think out 2 or 3 years as to how the business is going to perform.
Yep.
What it is you're looking for and why. So I want to borrow $2-3 million and I'm going to use the money to invest in whatever it might be. Some evidence around, you know, the recent history of the business in terms of its financial strength. And I think that's pretty much it. Then, you know, no 20, 30 pages of documents, 4 or 5 page statement, financial statements. We'd always want to meet with the customer. I mean, we, of course, in today's environment, it's using the medium that we are using now, so that we can have a good chat about their values, their philosophy, what they're trying to build in life and the business, how they think about the risks. But that's always better done in a conversation rather than written down, because you can answer and ask questions. And you're there to help, not trip people up. I mean, 99.9% of businesses are not in the business of preparing financial statements of banks. So they need some help. And this is where the broker community, of course, plays an important role, because it helps bridge that the gap that exists between the way that the business thinks about its business and the way that the bank needs it to think about its business. But we make it easy for people. You know, we don't want to make it hard. We promise a decision within 5 days. If we can't do the business, we'll say it immediately. You know, but our going in attitude is that we're here to lend to small businesses. And you can always find a way of lending. It might not be exactly what the customer has asked for, because sometimes you've got to say, look, for this to work, we need this. But there's that old Woody Allen line, you know, waiter, this isn't what I asked for, but it's what I want. And so, you know, sometimes businesses ask for something and actually the better solution is something else.
And then how do the businesses access you? You mentioned brokers, because a lot of people might not, you know, we don't have a Judo bank on every corner. So how's the best way for people to, apart from your website, is judobank. What is your website?
Judobank. So judobank.
Yep,
that's it.
And then if they want to call, there's obviously phone number on your website. When they call, do they get a call center, or what happens? Who's going
to? There'll be someone there to speak to. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we're in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane right now, Perth in a couple of months. So we've got offices there, we've got bankers there who find the telephone number. The telephone number will be on our website, and call the offices. and you'll speak to someone, and that person will be available to meet with you via through this medium, or in normal times come and visit you.
So, I mean, my business, Yellow Brick Road, and Vow have a relationship with your Judo Bank, we have a relationship through Georgia Beat. Maybe you could explain how borrowers or small business owners or people, medium business owners, I mean, how they might use their mortgage broker to talk to you guys, how that might work, how that interface could work.
Well, if there's a relationship with a mortgage broker, ask the broker to introduce them to Judo. I think that would be the easiest way to do it. I mean, we have relationships with thousands of brokers around the country. There's also thousands that we don't today have an established relationship with, but you know, that might be an opportunity also to open up that as a relationship channel as well. But I think if you're a small business, you've got a relationship with a broker, ask them to put you in contact with Judo. They'll be able to find Judo quite easily. I mean, we've got a big team of people around the country, as I've mentioned. And we are the specialist in this business. You know, it's not, even though we're a young bank, the average experience of our bankers would be close to 20 years. You know, we hired people who've been very skilled and experienced in banking SMEs, who believe passionately in supporting SMEs. I mean, they go through a 3-hour test before they get in to the organization to test their skills after having gone through 4 interviews. So you'll find a banker when you at Judo who is passionate about small to mid-sized businesses, understands the issues, understands the right questions to ask, is there to help, not trip up, and will give you the right guidance and feedback and information requests that you need so that you can process your loan requirements.
And I mean, you're a Scotsman. And
yes.
I've always said if I was going to own a bank, I'd want a Scotsman running the joint, because they're the best bankers in the world. It's well known in banking industries. I want to congratulate you, because it was 1 year ago you launched this business. I remember when you launched it. And I remember having lunch with you and some of your colleagues maybe some months before you launched it. And it was a pretty exciting proposition at that stage. Now it's real and it's out there. And, you know, for some reason, I mean, to some extent, to be frank with you, this pandemic has fallen into your lap, because the people who are affected mostly, apart from consumers, are business owners, small business owners, and they need help. And yes, that's what your bank is actually, Judo Bank is actually there to help people. It's not just a transactional bank. It's there to help people. They're not trying to do look after your wealth or their insurance or your check account or your credit card. You're there actually to lend money to these business owners and you're taking a holistic view or a 360 view of everything in relation to the business. And as you say, you guys are well experienced. I really appreciate talking to you. I think for me, if business consumers are looking to borrow money, they should definitely have you in the top 3 of their list in terms of who they should be talking to. Because it's rare that you get an organization who actually will try to lend the money if it fits. And
yes,
and that's your game. Because if you don't lend money, you're not going to make any money.
Yeah.
So you've actually got to lend money.
We've got to lend money. We've got to do it in a way, though. The nightmare scenario for me, Mark, is to wake up in 2 years' time, look in the mirror, and all we are is a mini-me of the big banks. Because we serve no purpose if we're a mini-me of the big banks. We've got to go back to the fundamentals of business banking that used to exist, you know, a decade or so ago, when there was a banker that business could speak to, and that banker had some authority. He or she could sit down and understand the business properly, and make sure that the bank was tailoring its solution to the business's needs, rather than saying to the business, look, here's the proposition, take it or leave it. And then the business customer says, well, I'll go to another bank, but actually there's not much difference between any of the big 4. Whereas you'll find with Judo that, as I've said several times, this is all we do. This is SME banking is our bread and butter. It's a way that we think, talk and act all day long. We want to build our business to be a very credible. We'll never be the biggest business bank in the country. That's not our aspiration, but we can, will, and will be the best business bank in the country. because all we will do is specialize in providing SMEs the support they need to grow and to do it in a way that it makes it easy to do business with us.
Many years ago, and this doesn't necessarily have to be about banking, your answer, but many years ago, probably at least 10, maybe 15 years ago now, a journalist asked Don Argus, who was the boss of the bank you worked at, what keeps you awake at night? Given what's going on at the moment, this is not really a business question. It's just, what keeps Joseph Healy awake at night? What worries you most about what's going on, all the things you see, you know, for the future, COVID, economies? What keeps you awake at night?
Well,
you're most worried about?
I'm worried about that we talk ourselves into a problem that we can avoid as a society. I mean, we were quite rightly very concerned about what the COVID virus, the COVID-19, could mean to the health and society, and the business issues were a second order issue because health and safety was the first priority. That was based on a world where we didn't have any facts. There was stories coming out of places like Italy and China, but we reacted as we had to react. But I'm worried that we stay too long in this state of emergency, and that we impose costs on the society and on the economy that are far greater than they really need to be. And so I work at the macro level. I worry a lot about that. I feel that we now have enough information to start adjusting the approach to the whole, to trying to control the disease, and to start allowing the business community to get back to doing what it does well. So I'm concerned first about that. The second thing, on the flip side of all of that, I would hate to wake up in 3 years' time, or even in a year's time, frankly, and look back on this period and feel that judo has wasted a crisis. And I don't want to sound mercenary when I say that, but I see this as a huge opportunity to demonstrate the real value of judo. And you talked about marketing at the beginning of this conversation, but if we hold true to our promises to small businesses, we hold our nerve, and we're there to support small businesses, then no amount of marketing dollar could ever provide us with the reputation that we will build over the course of the next year. So I don't want judo to waste the crisis. And that's the other thing that worries me. Are we brave and bold enough? Sensible bankers, this is not reckless, but sensible bankers who are backing our customers in a way that I don't feel the banking system is in a position to do, given all that it's having to cope with during in the face of this crisis.
I quite like that. Just to a business owner, that old saying of don't waste a crisis. During crisis, you can get 10 years of brand building done in a short period of time. And if you don't waste the crisis, and that applies not just to your bank, but to any business. I don't care what the business is. Some businesses will turn this crisis into 10 years of brand building in a 6 month period, and they will leap ahead of their competitors, which, given that's your attitude, that's a great attitude. Actually, it's very refreshing to hear a banker say that. That's very well refreshing to hear a banker say that.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I mean, I'm as you know, Mark, I'm passionate about banking. It's saddened greatly by the reputational damage that was done to the industry, but fundamentally, banks are critical, and they need to be responsible and understand the role that they play in the economy and society, and they need to be professional, and they need to, particularly at times like this, stand up. Not hide behind marketing slogans, but stand up and allow your actions to speak for yourself. And that's how we are looking at the current environment at judo. Let's get out there, support our customers, and also reach out to businesses that are not our customers and say, look, if you're looking for an alternative and finding it difficult to get a cut through with your current bank, then give us a go. Give us a go.
And this discussion with me in 6 months' time, I'm going to revisit this, and maybe early next year, I'm going to revisit this, because My gut feeling is you're going to push through this very well. Can you buy shares in Judo Bank?
Not yet.
Okay, well, everyone who's listening is going to be jumping off their seat at the beginning saying, how am I going to, I don't want to borrow any money. I just want to buy shares in Judo Bank. But well done. Thanks very much. I really appreciate your time. That's been awesome. That's Joseph Healy, co-founder and co-CEO of Judo Bank.
Thanks, Mark.
You bet.
Great. Cheers.
Thanks, mate.